So today we are reading Bamidbar chapter 6. As we've discussed yesterday, this is a continuation of the group of mitzvahs that are in the first part, the first series of the book of Bamidbar, which, if you want to put it into a time period, is sort of set in this time between the first and the second month of the second year, when the year that the Mishkan was set up and the year which the Machnas were set up. And these mitzvahs somehow connect with that subject. Or with that time, sorry. Either they were said in that time, or they connect to that subject. So now we have the fourth mitzvah in this group, in this series, and that's the mitzvah of Nuzir. So in some sense, it connects to the previous mitzvah, or one before the previous one, which was a kind of promise. It talked about some kind of matana, something that gets dedicated to the Kohen, to the Mikdash, like the Ish asher ein la ish goya lehoshe v'oshem aylev goes to the Kohen. Here we're also going to talk about some things that go to the Kohen. That's one way in which to explain the connection. Of course, the Saita also is bringing something to the Kohen, so this is the connection. In a more broader sense, as we've discussed, that Sefer Bamidbar is somehow the things that are the broadening, the expansion of the Kedusha, of the Machne Kohuna, all the way to the other Machnas in all kinds of ways, in literal ways and in more spiritual, more theoretical ways, more conceptual ways. So there's a conceptual way in which a nozir, it can also be seen as the expansion of the kahuna to outside of it, because a nozir is basically, or one way to understand it, is someone who is not a kohen, but wants to act as if he's a kohen, or can get the kedusha of a kohen in the way of a neder. A neder is just like all nedarim, just like there is kodesh, there are some things that are kodesh, and then you could make something kodesh by your words, by your actions. We'll learn the general halacha of nedarim all the way later in this book also, so it belongs to that. But generally here, when we're expanding the machna, one more way of expanding it is that some other person, a regular person, or someone can become a nozir, so dedicate himself to God in some way, and it will give him the laws, will be required to act in these ways, and then of course he will have to bring his carbon. So that's, I think, the broader way to understand the connection of the halacha of nozir to Sefer Midbar generally, and to this part of it in particular, which is the part of the expansion of the Kedusha to all the machnos. And as all these parashas, we have the like story, the framing, what happens, or what we would know about it, and what the Torah is mechadesh, what it's adding, the laws that it's giving for that person. So it starts, tell the people, isha, isha, so a man or a woman. This is, again, an expansion. Many times we have ish, ish, not always, and it says only ish, it's to exclude women. But here there's very explicit inclusion of women. So, of course, women, we've discussed the daughters of Levi, for example, the daughters of the Kehanim, what their halachas are, so that's the limitation. But this halacha is explicitly expanded. Even a woman can be a nazir or a nazira, and they have this same kind of kedusha as a kohen can have or as a nazir can have. So they can... they will express in Eder. Yafli can be translated something like express in Eder, to be not to be a nozir, neder nozir, the kind of neder which makes you a nozir, to be lahazir l'Hashem, to separate themselves towards Hashem. Now there's several or mostly three different things, three halachas, three categories of halachas that they have to practice. The first thing is the keeping themselves away from wine. So that's the first, miyain v'shecha, wine, or things that make you drunk. He must separate himself, even choymetz, even vinegar made of wine, which might somehow still make you drunk, or as we see here, this might be somehow more symbolic. It's not really only about getting drunk. Of course, getting drunk it can cause moral issues, but also there's a symbolic thing. He's not part of this whole world that has to do with wine. This is somehow connected with the concept of a kohen, as we've seen in Parsha Shemini, that a kohen cannot drink when he does the avoda, at least, or maybe in general, a kohen gadol, who is always belonging to the avoda. There's halachas about this, but it seems like that's the concept, and a nozir is making that way. So he can't drink any wine, and it adds all of these additions. You could see it as, sometimes we can see it as a siyag, like don't even get close, or it can be seen as a symbolic separation. So symbolic separation is also important. There's a question here always, for example, we say shechar, and then some people interpret this as anything that makes you drunk, so like you can't drink whiskey either, or beer, or something like that. The chum don't say it like that. They say it means wine that makes you drunk. Doesn't mean other things that make you drunk, and that's because they read it as a more symbolic thing than a physical thing. Physical thing, the moral thing of not getting drunk, or things like that, is not something special for a nozir. Everyone has to be careful with that. So, and also not anything made from grapes, mishas and ovim, any grape juice or anything pressed in grapes, or water mixed with grapes, or anything like that. same thing, any grapes at all, not even grapes, not only what drinks made out of grapes, but grapes themselves, whether they're dry, so raisins, or wet, so fresh, you cannot eat, or anything made from geffen, anything made from the vineyard. So sometimes we make things from grape leaves, right? So chatzanim azag, which means something like grape leaves or the seeds, there's debate about what exactly each of these two mean, but even those things doesn't eat. So again, he's totally separated from all of the concept of vineyards and wine. That's one thing that a nazir has to do, and that's the law. So in other words, if you say hareni nazir, you make yourself a nazir, you have to carry out the concept of a nazir as the Torah defines it. A nazir, you can't just define it yourself. You can make a neder for whatever you want, but a nazir is a specific kind of neder that gives you a specific kind of kedusha. And as I'm saying, it's a symbolic kedusha, not only like a practical kedusha, like being dedicated to something. There's a symbolism in this, and therefore you have to follow these laws. Second thing you have to follow is you cannot cut your hair, or the way it says it, a razor cannot pass on your head. All of these times, you will have to let your hair grow gadil pera, grow openly or grow freely. We've seen it put as resh ister, right? Means open her hair or uncover her or something like that. So the nazir does not groom his hair, cannot cut his hair all of this time. That's something that we did not entirely find by Kanim. In some sense, we even found the opposite. But there's something going on in this. This is the one thing that is interesting that needs really more explanation. But there seems to be some symbolism in this. Of course, you know the story of Shimshon, where there's a symbolism and like some divine power that lies in his hair, who is called the nazir. So there's something going on with the hair, with the not cutting the hair, as long as he's a nazir. And the third thing is, he may not come close to a dead person. I'll call nefesh mes li'eva. In other words, he has to be careful to not contaminate himself with tumas mes, even his father, his mother, his brother, his sister. In other words, even the ones that are kohen hedyot, for example, can be metame. Remember, kohen hedyot is metame le'achiv le'achoisai. He is like a kohen gadol. Ki nezer lehav aroisha. That's a similar language. We had something like a kohen gadol. He is nezer lehav aroisha. His crown, God's crown, is on his head, and it's also a play on the word naziris. Naziris is a separation, and it's also a crown. The separation that a nazir does achieves some kind of crowning. Then again, this shows that this is a symbolic thing here. There's something symbolic here where I know that, like, morally, ethically, you need to go to your relative's funeral. You need to be metam to them. It's even a mitzvah for a kohen hedyot or for a regular person. But him, since he separated himself and he dedicated himself to God in this way, he does not contaminate himself by touching them, by coming close to them. He is holy to Hashem. That's the halachas of those are the three things that a nazir has to do. Now, and this seems interestingly built in, we don't have something similar for a kohen, but we do have something like this for a nazir. So that's interesting to think of. Why a kohen doesn't have a halacha? What does he do if he gets tummeh? Of course, he gets tummeh, he has to purify himself, but it doesn't say about, like, he doesn't have to bring a carbon, he doesn't have to have a kapura for that. So it seems like the pasuk might be saying something like, if you decide yourself to act this way, then you carry responsibility for it. So even if something happened by mistake, or if it was always even oinus, kiyemes meis olav efes apisam. Of course, your hair can't be cut off by mistake or by coercion or by force. That's not wouldn't be an issue. But if you will, sometimes someone dies next to you, or you somehow by way of some unplanned thing, right? Sometimes you can't plan everything around you. And he vitimerosh nizra, his head, his right, the head that is holy, right? Nezra lavarosh is a here. So it seems like maybe the point of the here, maybe this can give us a clue to what the point of the here is. Like a kohen has big dekona, he has like some kind of hat or some kind of clothing that give him the crown of God, or like a kohen gadol has a tzitz, which is also called nezra lehav. The nozir cannot get that, but he has his hair instead. And if he gets tumah, so he desecrates that. So, right, he's desecrating the kedusha that's on him. And therefore, what he's going to have to do is, on the day that he purifies himself, right, so the seventh day, we will learn in Parshas Chukas that at the seventh day after he has the efer put on him, it gets purified with that. And the seventh day, he will cut off his hair. That's like he ends his disnaziris. And the eighth day, so after he's entirely pure, he will bring a carbon to tie them to two pigeons or two b'nayana, two birds, to the kohen, and they will make a chatas and oila. That will be the two kohens. This will be a kapura, an atonement, ma'ashechot al nefesh, that he sinned by going close to a nefesh, on a dead person, nefesh ma'is, v'kiddash asrosh, and then his head will be holy, re-holy. So this is like fixing the problem of him getting tumah by mistake, or by, I don't want to call it by mistake, by befes apisim in an unplanned way, it wasn't his fault, then that he has to bring this carbonus when he's pure, and then he restarts the thing. So then he starts again the days, or apparently here we see that there's an amount of time, so we'll see also how in the next parasha, what happens in the regular time. So a nazir is not something forever, generally. Of course, there might be some nazirim that promise it forever, but apparently the standard way is to do it for a period of time. So here, he's going to have to act as if his period of time is finished, and he will start it again, and then he will bring also a keves for oila. So those are the three components that he has to bring, really. And vayom arishanim yiplu, so the previous days will fall off, right? They will fall apart because kitumen Israel, because he made tumah his nezer, so therefore he will have to start again. He loses the days before. That's what happens. So now that's what happens if there's an accident, right? By accident something happened. Now what's the regular way of finishing a nezer? The regular way is in the day that it finishes, he brings his carbon. So now he brings a keves for a oila, a kafsa for a chatas, a kifsa for a chatas, or a kafsa, right, a female sheep, and an ayal for a shlomim, and he also brings matzahs with bludas b'shemen mixed with oil, and rekike matzahs, so two kinds of matzahs, and with their mincha, with their nesachim, so a whole big party, like as we saw, some kind of shlomim. Shlomim is always a party, so there's a celebration of him finishing this. And he brings it to the kohen, they make the chatas and the oila, goes to the kohen, right, the ayal, he makes a shlomim together with the matzahs, with the mincha, with the Nesach, so that's part of the ceremony of him finishing his Naziris. And then, as we've seen, that his Nazir has his hair. So now, as part of the ceremony of finishing it, he will cut off his hair. Gilach es rosh nizrei. We might understand that as entirely full, but maybe it just means the amount that grew that in the time that he was in Nazir that he has to cut off. I don't know if it means that he has to entirely cut off. That doesn't say over here, at least. What Halacha says is something else, but we're speaking what it says here. And he will take this hair and burn it under the shlomim. So somehow his hair gets burned. So it seems like the hair that he grows out in his naziris becomes part of the karm that he brings after the naziris. Not the karm that goes in the mizbech, but part of the shlomim. So still part of the celebration, part of the karm. Then there's a process of tenufa. The kohen takes the zroya and one chala and one rokik, two kinds of chalas. He puts it on the nazir after he shaves his nezir. And here in Israel, again, can be read in two ways. His crown, because his hair is his crown, or in his, like his Naziris, his promise of Naziris. And he makes tenufa, and then the kohen gets, like in every shlomim, the kohen gets the tenufa, the shoik, and the chaza, the breast, and the leg, the front leg, the kohen gets. So that's the tenufa. Tenufa is like a symbolic akrova of bringing that to the mizbech. That's what it always is. And after all that, v'acha yishta nozer yai, now that nozer is free of his vows, he can drink wine. Of course, he can be mitame lemeisim also, but maybe that's obvious. And that's the end. Then we have a footer for this parsha. Lister is a nozer who will promise his carbon. Milvada shetas yigal. Sometimes he will bring more carbonus according to how much money he has, as he promised. Kanyas alteres nozer. So this carbon, as we see, a nozer is something voluntary. So maybe someone promises that when he finishes his nozer, he will bring more shlomims or more toides and things like that. He could, but this is the minimum that he has to, the obligatory ones. And here we have the fifth, the last part of this perek, is the fifth mitzvah in this series, which also we can see how they belong very much to this series, the mitzvah of Birchas Kehanim. And now it's more specifically not the mitzvah of Birchas Kehanim, but the mitzvah, very interestingly, the mitzvah of the language of Birchas Kehanim. And it's very interesting. Maybe the mitzvah is the language, maybe the mitzvah is the actual bircha. In other words, should we read this as saying, when you bless the Eden, you should bless them using this liturgy, using this language? Or is it saying that there's a mitzvah to bless them and bless them these blessings? I think it's both, but it's interesting that this is... up until now, in the whole Chumash, we didn't have any liturgical language, like anything like, you should say this. There were a lot of things to do. There wasn't anything to say. There was like Vizvada, but no words. Later in the Devarim, we'll have some words for Avidah and so on. This is the first time in the Torah where we have specific words. They're not words of Tefillah, but they're words of Birchas Kehanim. Okay, when we learn Hilchas Tefillah, Birchas Kehanim, and the Rambam, for example, we'll see that Birchas Kehanim is somehow a primary part of the Tefillah. And that seems to have to do with this. Like one of the first Tefillahs said to exist are the tefillah, the bracha that the kohen gives to the people. And here again, we see that there's an interaction. The people come to the Beis HaMikdash and so on, and they're not just coming to do their obligatory karbonos and so on. The kohen is also giving them a blessing. It's blessing for everything. So there's a broad context to this whole thing of Beis HaMikdash. It's not just like bring karbonos. And that connects us very much with what we're saying, that Bamidbar is giving the broader context of the Mikdash and the karbonos. So this is what it says. Speak to Aaron and his children. This is how you bless the Eden. We'll tell them. God will bless you and keep you. So bless you is give you what you want, and Vishmerecha will watch you, right? Keep you from dangers. And then we have the bracha. We can see here that the bracha gets longer and nicer. So there's a very nice ascending structure to this three brachas. Hashem will will shine his face to you and vichunekka and give you grace. That's very general. It doesn't say what, right? All the zebrachas don't really say specifics. They're very general. And the third one is Hashem will raise his face to you and give you peace. So you can see exactly, if you see in this picture, you can see exactly how this bracha is structured. It's very nicely structured. It's all very general. It's receiving God's ha'aras panim, right? The light of his face, something like everything going well, or it is yisla Hashem panim, someone's going to care about you and give him his attention. Attention is a way to translate this in English. And now Hashem is telling them what this will be is v'somu Shmuel b'nei Yisrael v'yavarchem. The blessing of the Kohen is really one way of understanding this, is putting God's name on the people and then therefore getting their blessing. This reference is something that we've learned in the end of Parshas Yisra. B'chol mokom asher azkir Hashemi ovei elecha v'reftecha, a place that is made, that God's name is put on, you receive a bracha because God's name brings a blessing. So part of the Birchas Kanim, God's name is in the Beis HaMikdash. And so on. It says my name is rest there. But now, when the Kohen puts God's name by saying Yevrech Hashem, right? And that's why we said it's very not specific brachas. It's saying God's face, God's blessing, God's attention will be on you. When God is with someone, then he has all the blessings. So that's really the internal ritual or the internal content of these blessings. And that's the end of this chapter.